they were convocations. And when he called them, he said they are holy convocations. When you assemble and God tells you to, that is a holy assembling, a holy convocation. 16:16. Concerning the set feasts, the seasons that God talked about, he says, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before me empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given him. Now, let us look in the New Testament at a scripture. The portion is 9, Numbers 9. I'll read this to you. Numbers 9, while you're in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 14, but in Numbers 9, very quickly, talking about it being compulsory, the Passover was to be kept the first month, the 14th day, and some were unclean and not able to keep it. And so they go to the Lord through Moses and say, why can't we keep the Passover? And God made a special day for them. And it says, but the man that is clean and is not on a journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover, that soul shall be cut off from his people, because he offered not the oblation of the Lord in its appointed season. That man shall bear his sin. Now, let's look in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 26. What is it then, brethren? When you come together, every one of you, each one, has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation, that all things be done unto edifying. Notice, still, it's our gathering together, our coming together. Now, let's look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 13. Let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, for we have not here an abiding city, but we seek after the city that is to come. And now 1 Corinthians 11. Concerning the Lord's Supper. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Notice verse 17, just to show you how it fits in the gathering together. But in giving you this charge, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse, desecration of the Lord's Supper. But speaking about that Lord's Supper, it says, we do it till he come. And let's read that portion in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, concerning or touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. And in detail, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the scripture in Matthew 23, the scripture that would cause our Savior to weep, and look at verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto her, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that thou dost show us the importance of things and the unimportance of things. We pray that we shall learn the meaning of that scripture which says, which in the sight of God is a great price. Let us know what is a great price in your sight, our Father. And as your Son said, that which is highly prized before men is an abomination unto God. So let us know, Father, how to evaluate things. And from the portions that we've read tonight, we pray that we shall understand about these convocations, these assemblings that you have told us about in the Word of God. So help us, we pray, our Father. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The difference between the convocations in the Old Testament and those in the New Testament is this. God did not suggest that you come to his meetings, his assemblies in the Old Testament. He said, you will come. And God did not suggest that it would be a good thing if you brought something along with you. God said, you will bring something along with you. Two things that were compulsory. God said, you have to be there and you have to bring something to offer me. Gratitude. So this is what was compulsory concerning the Old Testament and the children of Israel. And if this is so, here is what a man would have to reason. He would say, now that I've been redeemed as a slave out of Egypt, my life isn't my own. I have to arrange my life around these feasts, these convocations that God has established for the nation of Israel. Because he does not tell me I may or may not come. He says, you will come. And if you do not come, you are cut off from the children of Israel. What if he dealt with us that way today? How many of God's children would still be in the land of the living? This is the way he puts it in the New Testament. He still says that these convocations are of the greatest importance, but he puts it this way, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So, missing a meeting, that's all he would say. Oh, I didn't get out to the meeting. God said, you forsook that meeting. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so we say, we just missed it, couldn't get there. And I've heard people make two statements, and I've never understood them, and one of them is this. You go and encourage this brother or this sister to be faithful in attending God's convocations, the meetings he set forth in his word, and this is the retort. Going to meetings is not everything. True. And another person had it brought to his attention that someone in his meeting was guilty of adultery. And he said, adultery isn't the worst sin. And so I said concerning that, that's right. It's the second worst sin among men. Thou shalt not kill, and the next one is thou shalt not commit adultery. You're right. Adultery is not the greatest sin. And missing the meetings, but what is so sad is this. Show me a person who does not faithfully attend all the services that God has called us to gather to, and I will show you a sick Christian. There is no Christian who misses the meetings when he is able to be there, who is healthy spiritually. It's like when a person gets sick and they do not want to eat. It's like when a person is sick and they do not want to breathe, but they're compelled to breathe when they have certain diseases or they die. And if you cease to attend meetings, I tell you that you're sick and you will get sicker. Because, listen to what the Savior says concerning the people of God and being with them. He says, as for the saints that are in the earth, they are the excellent, in whom is all my delight. And what it means is this, that when Dorcas, that dear faithful Christian sister, died, you'll find that all her friends were there with her. And there was compassion and there was sympathy. And when the Apostle Peter was released from prison, he went to where people loved him and were praying for him. And that is so essential. If I am not able to find consolation and friendship and sympathy among those that are Christ's children, from whom am I going to find it? Sad to say, often worldlings. And worldlings know how to sympathize in times of sorrow more than the people of God. But this is such a sad thing. And I tell you, you're sick for this reason. When this man, in Numbers 9, was told about the Passover, he wanted to go to that meeting. But God said, if you happen to be in the presence of a man when he dies, then you're contaminated and you cannot keep the Passover. Now, most of us would say, well, I would have gone to the Passover this year, but unfortunately, a man died when I was visiting. He was sick. It's where I should have been, and he died, and so I just can't go. I just missed it this year. But this man went to Moses and said, look, we want to keep the Passover. Why are we forbidden to keep the Passover? And Moses said, I will take it up with God. And when God heard it, I cannot help but believe that his heart rejoiced. And he said, tell them this, that if they miss the Passover in the first month on the 14th day, they may keep it in the second month on the 14th day. And then, if we may so speak, that brings something to God's mind about those who would miss the Passover and had no desire to keep the Passover. God said, this man who missed it, who wanted to come, he has a second chance. He said, but if a man is clean and without excuse and he misses it, he's cut off from among the children of Israel. And so there's something wrong with the meeting that you attend to, or something wrong with you when you do not want to go and gather together with the children of God. Now, I want you to see this. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. God understands about such meetings, because in Isaiah chapter 1, the very things that God ordains are commented on this way. Look at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. What unto me is the multitude of your sacrifices, saith the Lord? And yet he demanded they bring those sacrifices. I've had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with iniquity and the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary of bearing them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Do you understand that what has happened here is that the very God who ordained these meetings looks at the hypocrisy, the contamination of those that are coming to those meetings, and God says, they are a weariness unto me. I do not enjoy them anymore. Now I'm wondering, when God looks at your heart, if God rejoices, if God smells that sweet savor and his heart is touched, or if God looks at you and he sees what you are within, even though outwardly you are in the right condition. I want you to remember Isaiah chapter 1, because God hates feasts, those that are attended hypocritically. And that same thing happened in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because there were some that were going to the Lord's Supper, and they were in such a disreputable state and an attitude of heart that some of them were drunk, and some of them were gluttonous, and some of them cared nothing for the poor that attended the meetings with them. And God said, then I will send weakness, and I will send sickness, and I will send death upon you. And so it's not when this happens you say, well, I will stay away because I'm not in the right condition of heart. God will judge you for that. We confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. We examine our hearts, and we get ourselves cleansed and prepared, and then we come to the meetings. But God said they're compulsory in the Old Testament. And even though he may not say they're compulsory in the New Testament, you'll find out what happens to your life when you forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So I would like it so much if when we offered our sacrifices to God, God was pleased and he would smell the sweet savor of the fruit of our lips ascending to him. But remember, you say, I don't care about the meetings. Well, those who are here and do not care about them, then God does not care about them when you're in that condition of heart. All right. I wanted to speak a little bit about this. The cooperation when we come to the meeting. It says, what is it then, brethren, when you come together? Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a teaching, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation. Notice, when they came together, all of them were gifted of God and were exercised of God, and they contributed to the meeting. And this was a good thing. This is cooperation. And listen, inasmuch as at this time they had one meeting for the longest kind of time, and all sorts of ministry was there, but I told you that some meetings God calls are for him and some are for us. But in these meetings, what is it then, brethren? When you come together, every one of you has a psalm. And a psalm is a song that we sing to the glory of God. And so here's something for God. But also psalms can be for men. It says speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But in this instance, a psalm sung unto God. And then there is teaching. And so here is something for man. But then again, if there is a tongue, that is something for God, because we are glorifying God, we are praising God with our tongues, and at that time they did it in a miraculous way, but now we praise God, and then someone would interpret that tongue, And also it says a revelation. Here is something that God reveals to us that we did not know before. Well, when we come today, it is not that we have prophets that give inspired revelations, but we do have teachers that are guided of the Lord that can point to these revelations and the teachings of the Word of God that are in season. And so this is what God expects of us when we come. I told you in the Old Testament, when you come, you shall not appear before me empty. And therefore, when you come to the Lord's Supper, it should be for the purpose of having something for God. Or it should be that if you were reading a portion of Scripture that was precious to you, and you said, this will draw out the hearts of the people of God to worship the Father and His Son, then it would be appropriate for you to give that sort of Scripture. And then, if after the breaking of bread, if you wanted to cause no offense, if you had read a Scripture and said, I know the people of God need this exhortation, it would be in order for you to give something to them. And so at the remembrance meeting, there is something that we go to give to God, and in turn, there is something that God gives to us. But our gathering together, if that happens, if someone came in from the heart, worship God, your heart would be blessed. And if someone gave a revelation from God, and if someone gave a teaching that was directly from God, your heart would be blessed. And it would not be a reluctance to go to the remembrance meeting unless it was something sick in your soul. And so when you do not come, when you forsake the assembling of ourselves together, then I tell you that you're spiritually sick as a child of God. If you do not look forward to this, and yet I had to laugh when I looked up this reference, the king called Jeremiah, and this is what he said. He said, is there a message from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, yes, there is. You're going to be taken captive to Babylon. Now, if that message is from the Lord, I don't believe I would want to hear it. But he did ask, is there a message from the Lord? And he went to a prophet of God that was in communion with God who would tell him God's message. And where are you expecting to hear the voice of God if he has gifted teachers and servants and they're here preaching and you're home and you say, oh, I wonder what the will of God is for my life, and I wonder why spiritually I'm not the man or woman of God I should be. The strangest thing, I would think, if a physician were competent and you were sick, and you said, I wonder why I'm not getting well, I wonder what I should do, I would think that you would go to where the physician was. And if you wanted to know the will of God, and if there were a word from God, you would go where God's servants and prophets and teachers were. That is what he expects of us. And so remember, there is cooperation when we come together. And if the people of God come under the guidance of God and do what we read of in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, then there will be no reluctance to come and gather to his name. There will be an anticipation of it. Just as the psalmist says, he said, I anticipated the dawning of the day. Why? I anticipated the night watches. Why? So that he could go and hear of God and meditate of God. And wouldn't it be a joyful thing if during the week you say, I'm looking forward to go and gather with the saints of God and worship the Father in spirit and truth and remember my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to gather together with the people of God, but I know very few Christians that have that attitude of heart, but that should be our attitude of heart. God demands it, and we are to do what we can to inculcate that attitude of heart. Now, here is something that is so beautiful. At times, there are gatherings together of the people of God in a certain place. But in Hebrews 13, there was a gathering together of the people of God outside of a particular place. It says that our Savior suffered without the gate. It says, let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And that is what some who have dissociated themselves from formalized religion, just as that time when they had the religion of Israel and the temple, and it was drawing their hearts because of its attractiveness, what it could mean to them socially, and what it could mean to them business-wise. The exhortation was, let us go forth without the camp unto him bearing his reproach. And for someone to ask you, where do you go? If you can point to a magnificent building and say, I go there. Or a cathedral and say, I go there. But where do you go? What group are you associated with? With none. I am gathered to the name of the Lord. You may call me one of the brethren. You may call me a Christian. You may call me a believer. Anything you please. But I'm one of God's children. And I gather wherever the children of God gather. And if you take that attitude and you take that stand, then I assure you that the world will scorn you. I remember so many years ago, I was speaking to a man, a worldly, and the church that he had attended, it was the church that Peter Marshall preached at. And he told me the glorious things and how magnificent the services were where he attended. And he asked me where I went. And I said, I go to a little gospel chapel over at the corner of East and Franklin. And he said, and you preach there? He said, well, what guarantees do they give you? What salary do you have? What home are you given? And I told him the way that things are. And he said, son, he said, you should change your denomination and go and be with these that are give you all of these guarantees. You see what he was telling me? He was saying, come inside the camp. Associate yourself with formalized religion and all the additions that man has made. That's what you're to do. But once you ever see the truth of gathering together to the name of the Lord, you see the era of clergy and laity, and you see the priesthood of all believers, then you're ready to go without the camp bearing his reproach. But if not, you will never go without. There will always be that attraction to your heart. That is a sad thing. Now, this. All of these gatherings that I've told you about so far are gatherings here on earth. But there is that last gathering. And that's the most precious of all the gatherings. It mentions it twice. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, about the coming of the Lord and our gathering together unto him. But that won't be anywhere on earth. Because it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now think of that. Think of that gathering. It may be that next week I'll tell you about the trumpets. But it speaks in Matthew 24 about God with the trumpet gathering together his elect. And it speaks in Thessalonians about God gathering us together when he descends from heaven with a shout. And when that gathering occurs, it will be the final gathering. And those words are thrilling to the soul of man. Once we get to that gathering, it says, thus shall we ever be with the Lord. No more gatherings like these. No more small gatherings, imperfect comings together. But that gathering when we'll be with the Lord and we'll be like him and we will be inseparably with him. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. That is the final gathering. But I was going to tell you this morning about another gathering that is so different from the ones we are talking about. Because the gatherings that I have been telling you about are those that are associated with those that are God's people. It's what we who are his are supposed to do. We gather together in his name. But that's why I read you Matthew chapter 23. It says there, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. You see, that gathering introduces you to all the other gatherings. And if you do not respond to that gathering, then you will never enjoy the gatherings on earth, and you will never enjoy that final gathering that occurs in the air, and you'll be forever separated from the Lord. In Matthew 25, it speaks of another gathering, when God gathers together all the sheep and all the goats. Now, the sheep are those that have already been gathered and responded, and the goats are those who refused. And what he's going to say unto the goats is this: Depart, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And then he shall say to the sheep, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And it says, These shall go away unto everlasting life, and the others shall go away unto everlasting damnation. Now, all of these things are put before us to show us what our life could be and what our life should be. But what is so sad is that God tells us in Isaiah chapter 1 that things are not as they should be. And what I must do is this. I must say, is it because my contributions to the people of God when we come together, what I bring, is something that drives people away instead of draws out their hearts to God? Is it something in my life that offends? Do you remember what Paul said concerning the Jews? He said, The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And so in Isaiah 1, it's a terrible thing when the Maker, who established the feast, says, I hate the feasts. I'm weary of the feasts. I want nothing to do with them. And so what happens is that some people say, Well, there's just no worshiping God anymore. It's not that he does not want these things. They were perfect because he is the one who arranged them. But it means that he does not want them under those conditions. This is the same thing that David says in Psalm 51. When he's in his sin and he's confessing his sin and seeking to be restored to God, he said, Because if you wanted burnt offerings and sacrifices, I would give them. He said, But I know you don't want those sacrifices and offerings. He said, The sacrifices of God are broken and a contrite spirit, O God, thou wilt not despise. And he says, After things are turned around and my soul is restored, it said, Then you will rejoice in all of these sacrifices that you've been refusing up until now. And so the most glorious thing that God has done for us, having saved our soul, is to give us this opportunity to hear his voice, to fellowship with his people, to anticipate the coming of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be like our Maker. Why? Because God is he who tells us the truth. And then he gives us the gift to impart what he's imparted to us, to give it to others, to bless them, that all things be done unto edifying. And there are some who can pray to God and can lift your heart up to heaven where positionally you're already seated in heavenly places. And so seek that. And each Lord's Day morning and each prayer meeting, if you say, I just am not going tonight, understand that you are sick and you need to confess that sin to God. You are forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, and you cannot treat such a thing lightly. Your attitude is wrong, because God says of old, if you will not come, you're going to be cut off. And concerning our coming and our being out of fellowship with God, I'm thinking of all the mental problems, the emotional problems that are with men. Why? Because they're not right with God. They're carrying on an outward religious form. They're denying the power. And God says, I'm sending sickness. I'm sending weakness. And then some die. Why? Well, God knows. But all of these things God is dealing with. And in the Old Testament, it was obligatory that they come. And in the New Testament, he simply says, if you do not come, you are forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So God's convocations are holy convocations. Consider them as such. And if they are such, have this attitude of mind. Think of what our Savior said. He was speaking to those who challenged his authority to be in the temple and teach and tell them things that they did not want to hear. He said, by what authority doest thou these things? The Savior said, let me ask you one question. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? And they thought for a moment. They said, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? Now let me ask you, if these convocations I've been telling you about in the Old and New Testament, if they are of heaven, why do you not believe God? And if they are from heaven and you believe God, there's only one thing you could do. All of these Pharisees and enemies of Christ, if they said it's from heaven, he would say, then why did you not submit yourself to the baptism of John? And if, as I told you, these meetings are of God, they are God's holy convocations, then, if you say, they are of God, then the Savior will say to you, then why are you not present when the people of God come together? They are God's holy convocations. Let us not forsake them, but let us be present. And when the Lord comes, let us be like the disciples were finally when Thomas was with them. And then they all saw the Lord. Convocations. Let us pray. Now, Father, we pray that you'll forgive us for having what attitude we do that's wrong toward your convocations, and for having the wrong attitude because of the behavior and the lack of dedication of those that are supposed to be wholly dedicated to thee. We pray that you forgive us those sins and let us do our very best, our God, for your glory. Let us not be satisfied with mediocrity. Let us not be satisfied, our Father, with a partial obedience to thy word. But let us understand that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And let us understand that our coming together is a holy convocation. And let us regard it as sacred. And let our attitude be such toward it. Hear us, and let us be the men and women of God we should be. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.